Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 322 of Mike Wright's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Hello.
So, Casey, when it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, how are you?
I did not think that's how we were starting this. We've spoken for about 5 minutes before starting this, and that's not how I thought this was going to go. Yes, I won't make the joke I made in private, but let's just say Hulk Hogan has definitely made up with all the people who thought negatively of him just before he passed, as he so often did with those he thought negatively of.
Yeah. What a weird way to start. But the last thing I read before starting this was that Hulk Hogan was dead, and therefore it's in my head. I suppose, does that make Brendan Aronson the real, real American?
God, I hope not.
we'll just
misses
get into
the leg drop.
What date was our last pod? The 9th, which means, looking at this, the first thing that happened since the last pod was Dan James signed a new 4-year deal.
Good. That is very good news. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, he's definitely earned it, hasn't he, with the performances over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, obviously, one of the main things I think we've said over the last couple of years is that he is much more, he seems to have a lot more composure on the ball. Like, he still has his Dan James moments, but on the whole, I think he's in front of goal. I think he's a lot calmer. I think his choice of pass is a lot better. So, yeah, turns out all he needed was a loan at Fulham and another 2 years in the Championship.
Yeah, and the other thing with him is we've noticed a few times just with all players, someone who's really quick in the Championship isn't really quick in the Premier League. They're just decent. Dan James is the one exception we've got to that. It's someone who's like truly rapid, and we may well need that, especially given we should have to play on the counter-attack in a fair few games. I thought that his first friendly might be like that, but apparently not. But before that, even though this isn't in order, I'll do them both together. Leeds have two new midfielders. Sean Longstaff, 4-year deal, which we did talk about a bit on the last pod because it was almost done. And the one that everyone is most excited by, Anton Stach from Hoffenheim, who's also signed a 4-year deal. It sounds like it was about 18 million quid, something like that. If I could bring myself to just go, I'm just buying into the data 100% no matter what, I'd be sat here thinking we've signed as good a midfielder as we could possibly get. And we might have, I'm just refusing to get that excited. He was like the top 1% for defensive duels, top couple of percent for aerial. Passing's good. Everything looks great. And he looks like he's built like a brick shithouse, and he's massive.
Yeah, I really feel sorry for Sean Longstaff when they parade all the new signings in a picture together. Because like, he's not a small man, but he's very average-sized next to our line of mutant defenders / wing-back / midfielders who can play in defence and things.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how our midfield actually lines up. Given the way, because I don't know if we've basically played a 4-3. We've played 1.5 games of 4-3-3 and half of our 2-3-1. But I don't know if that's just because we haven't really got the 10s available at the minute, because Aronson's only just got there. And he's Brendan Aronson. I mean, Peru did play as a 10 in the first half against Vale. If it's a 4, I have to assume that we are thinking 4-3-3. Given just the midfield options we currently have.
Yeah, at the moment, I think it's certainly looking that way. I really don't see... I think, first and foremost, for me, I don't see Ampadu dropping out of this team. Like, I think the importance that Farker has placed on him over the last couple of years, I think he starts anyway. Mm-hmm. I think we probably look at maybe if you however you wanted to look at it, whether you go kind of 4-2-3-1 where Tanaka is a bit more advanced like he was in the Man United friendly.
I think if they do that, it will be a 4-3-3 and Tanaka is the one with a bit of license. Because he's not a 10.
No.
But he was the one that made a couple of runs beyond and who popped up in the slightly more advanced areas. So I think even though we haven't seen Stack play, if I was betting right now on the opening day, I'd say midfield 3, Stack, Ampadu, Tanaka. But there's loads of time for that to change.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose as well, I do think there will be... I do wonder if there's the thought process of we are playing a lower team at Elland Road. Do we go back to the 4-2-3-1 and look at bringing in Brendan Aaronson?
Right now,
no.
If we were playing 4-2-3-1, it depends if we get. It depends if we get a striker, because, I mean, I don't into this really. But it was interesting that Peru played 10 and Harry Gray played up front in that way. I mean, it could well, if we went 4-2-3-1 right now, I think it's probably Peru behind Nemecha. But I'm not sure he'll be brave enough to do that this early. What you really need is a really good number 10. But the more I think about it, the more I think this has Buendia on deadline day written all over it.
After 8 years of chasing, we finally got our man.
Yeah.
I really don't want to see Joel Peru at 10 in the Premier League.
I wouldn't from the start. I've no problem with seeing it if we're chasing a game and there's 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
But the
legs on that.
But to be fair to Joel Peru, and it's something that, I mean, everyone's mentioned, but we haven't really mentioned, I don't think. It's not, he looks like he's not that fit. But I mean, he won the bleep test. He is fit, he's just not fast.
it's not a fitness thing. He's, I considered him a slow player last year in the championship. Mm. Ooh.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with that.
Ooh, Declan Rice around him.
But given we've signed Longstaff and Stack at middle of midfield, and we've added Biol and Bornau in central defence, and it did sound like after the Verl game that Farker was basically saying, right, defence and midfield is sorted now. How, when you look at that four, that four in defence and five centre mids, really, do you think we've got enough in those areas?
I wouldn't mind a bit of coverage, but yeah. In terms of the players that I think are coming into the starting lineup, I'm pretty happy with, like you say, that central midfield and central defence. Goodmanson, from what I've seen of him so far, I've been pretty happy with, and I do get that. I think Farko is looking at a profile of player who, you know, people who can play two roles in his team.
Yeah.
So again, if, you know, as well as the forgotten fullback who shall not be spoken of.
Yeah. At least they did remember to mention that he's got a little injury rather than he's just not playing.
He just disappeared. Yeah. I like the idea that they got to the Strawberry Arena and just went, Isaac, anyone? Isaac? Left him at the hotel again. you'll have Schmidt there. We've mentioned you do have the option of playing Strauch there if needs be. Because
I think there'll be games where we see that, where we see Strauch left back in the last 20 minutes of a game when we just try to see something out.
I do think we are now going to transition into a period of Pascal Strauch as a backup centre back as well, which is a little bit sad. But I think in the 2 years Farker has been here, each year he has had a decent length of layoff with injury. So as annoying as it is to see for someone that's been with us for a fair while, and you know, and I didn't come through the academy as such, but sort of came through the 21s, it's a little bit sad, but I can see why we did need the centre backs.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, what I've read, Beall appears to be an upgrade. Obviously, we won't know that until we'll see in September if I still think that. But
not as handsome, though, is he?
Yeah, but no one is.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be fair to even... You can't use that as a metric, because he's a, he's a £200 million player by that metric. but no, it'll be interesting to see. But I must admit, like, because it's four centre backs and five centre mids, and in a way, it's sort of five and five because of Ampadu. I do think that from what I've seen, I think that we are good. I think we're enough there. And obviously, we still need a number nine. We definitely need a number 10. We could really do, I think, with another fullback. Because he's going to play Schmidt. And if he didn't rate him enough in the Championship, I can't say how he's going to think it in the Premier League. And obviously, Schmidt's injured right now. And I know that he won't actually be the guy playing. But we have seen two games of Sam Chambers playing right back. And he looks like a decent young player, but he's not a right back.
He's not a defender.
No.
Like in any shape or form. The poor lad. I certainly think a backup fullback. I know, obviously, as you look at it right now, you have Bogle and Byram. Essentially, it's your two right backs.
And maybe Schmidt, if he exists.
Depending on what side. Well, I mean, he finished the season as a winger as well, did Schmidt, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then...
Goodmanson.
Yeah, Goodmanson and Byram
again. And Schmidt again.
Yeah. So I definitely think we could do with another one, but I would imagine it's not the priority now. I do wonder, looking at the squad, whether, like you say, do you think it'll be a case of, if we're not going to play a 10 that often, that he may see what's available, brackets, see Buendia, towards the end of the window?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the late one.
Yeah, I think the folks will be get a striker in. There's probably no need to get a winger in right now, unless someone becomes available.
And again, this is other people's excitement, because I haven't seen out. It does appear that this Pachau from Feyenoord looks like a world beater. But we have seen world beaters in the Dutch league before. Some of them are brilliant and some of them just aren't. And you don't really know until they get there. Like watermelons and all of that, as Chilino would say.
Alfonso Alves, as I like to call it.
Yeah. For every Alfonso Alves, there's a Luis Suarez and vice versa. If we can get him based on how good he looks, yeah, we should go for it. There was a weird thing that I wasn't expecting in Beren Crosser's article today, which was like, there's been interest in Ramazani from all over Europe, but the only like named interest was Aris Thessaloniki in Greece. I was like, he's fucking better than that. Like, he's definitely better than that.
Yeah, I could sort of understand it if he had an eye on leaving, but I suppose for him it would have to be... Like, I know he's probably not a massive earner. Like, I know he'll have had his pay rise in promotion like a lot of others, but I don't think he'll be a massive earner.
By Premier League standards, no.
Yeah. As opposed to Jack Harrison, who is probably one of the top earners at the club.
I mean,
given the contract he signed before we went down.
Is it probably him and Bamford?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is...
I must admit, Harrison's... We may as well just sort of use this to change into it. I don't think anyone was expecting Harrison to start against Man United.
No.
And then he did. And don't get me wrong, it's not like he was getting tons of service or anything like that out there. But he did appear like the least effective, least impactful forward out of all the ones we used that day.
Yeah.
He wasn't like actively bad. He was just there.
I mean, for me, I think firstly, him starting that was... Part of me thinks it is a political move of, you know what, let's get this out of the way with.
Yeah, he did get booed.
He was always going
which
to.
Which was always going to happen. Which did happen with Berber, it happened with Allenson when he first came back.
Yeah.
Allenson, he helped his cause by scoring pretty quickly first game back.
Yeah. Been even better if he just got the second chance.
Yeah.
Told you it was shit. Anyway. Yeah, it was interesting to see him there. From the stuff you've heard, it does sound like if there is a reasonable offer to be made on him, we would accept it. But I don't think we're going to... I don't think we're going to push him out. Because I think... One, he will still have a couple of years at least. I think it was a 5-year deal.
It was a 5-year deal, so I think he's got 3 years left.
Yeah, so he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So unless someone pays, you know, a decent enough fee for him, and even then it's whether they'll take the wages on as well.
Yeah, I think he'll be here this season.
I think he will as well, and I think he will default to coming off the bench.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I mean, like, if I was again, it's early opening day. I'd probably be expecting James and Nonto. I mean, to be honest, given we haven't signed a 10, if it was 4-2-3-1, there would be an argument for James and Mamazzani and Nonto 10, but he'd seem to not like that very much.
I mean, he doesn't.
I think Mamazzani has looked quite lively in pre-season, so I would probably pick him, but I don't think Farker will. I think he'll pick Nonto.
He doesn't really pick Nonto that much on the left.
Mm.
I mean, he doesn't start Nonto that much full stop. But,
yeah.
That one will be an interesting one to see come the opening day. Yeah.
It's like we've got the Villarreal friendlies like 2nd of August, and then we've got the Milan one. Is that the last one before the opening day?
Yeah, we don't have many, do we?
Because
I suppose with these, it's these games that we have while we're away that we just don't actually know about until the day of, when it sort of comes out that, oh yeah, Leeds have got a friendly in 3 hours.
Yeah. I can say it because it's not breaking the embargo, because I don't know if it's true, but apparently it's Paderborn on Saturday.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's true, so it's not breaking the embargo. It's a guess based on some things.
Yeah. Do you want to guess at where the stadium is by any chance?
What you do is you go onto, was it Florian Plettenberg's Twitter? Was it Magdeburg or something that he just said?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to know where it is, after the embargo finished last summer, they all said where it was, and it's the same place as last
year.
So you can find it there. We've talked about Harrison. 0-0 with Man United. Overall, what did you think of? Obviously, it's a friendly and it was quite pre-season.
That was certainly a game of football that took place.
Yeah.
I
would go as far as to say it was better than I expected. But I don't know if that's because, like, we had a lot more of the ball than I thought. I thought we looked way more comfortable than I was expecting going in. But I genuinely don't know how much of that was us being a bit better than I thought and how much was Scum being worse than I thought.
Yeah, I know it's not for us to get into, but this 3-4-3 thing is absolute bollocks for them. But good luck to them with it. I'd, you know, I don't mean that at all, actually. But yeah, it was. I think the game was entirely summed up by, what was it, about 35-40 minutes in, the slow motion highlights of not even particularly bad fouls, just fouls that have occurred. There was a couple of decent moments, and you know we had a couple of chances, and then we decided to throw the kids on, as you say. Sam James is at right back, and that's it was that last 10 minutes when they had most of their chance or their best chances.
Yeah, that is when all the chances were, really.
I think, what was it? Isn't Nemechu who had our best chance?
No, we had two one-on-ones, both set up by Peru early in the second half. Peru put Bogle in on the right, and Heaton made a good save. And the second one was Ramazani. Heaton made a great save, to be fair to him. I do genuinely think Tom Heaton might still be a better goalkeeper than Onana.
But, well, we were all disappointed to see him not on the team sheet.
Yeah, but, hopefully they stick with Onana and it keeps being hilarious. Again, much like last season, I thought Bogle stood out a mile. I just thought he was outstanding again. Tanaka looked really good. Nonto looked really good. And the good thing we saw out of Nemechu was an ability to deal with a long ball up to him, which we might need.
Yeah, well, you know, it's either that or we go full Paul Butler and just keep putting, you know, Bornau up top last 10 minutes of games and just lump it up to him. It's definitely a different sort of presence up front. Like you say, Joel Peru will be a very interesting one to see. Because again, if like you say, if you're final 10 minutes, you need a goal and you're putting the team under pressure, he's a great player to have on the pitch because one bounce in his direction and you back him to put it away. But there's a lot of the off-the-ball stuff and like you say, the speed with which he plays that I think could be a struggle for him. But
yeah, I'd love him to be able to make the step up because like he's such a good finisher.
Yeah, it.
And you need, that's what you need, someone who's going to put the ball, that has been the phrase, we need someone to keep the ball out of the net and we need someone to put it in the net. And we have someone who I think is more than good enough to finish for chances in the Premier League. I just don't know if he has the pace to be in position to do it.
Yeah.
And that's where the difference is.
Yeah, I suppose on the subject of Peru and Nemechu as well, it's probably as good a time as any is to discuss the two that will be departing or attempting to depart under very different circumstances.
Right, you mean the hero leaving to a standing ovation and the Judas bastard?
Yeah.
Patrick Bamford will do first because that's nicer. Farkas told him that he's not part of his plans in the Premier League. When I read that, I got a bit sad. I don't think it's the wrong decision.
No.
I just thought, but I like that.
Yeah, it's... Again, it's sad because I know as much as... Like, I know Strauch is still there and he was on the peripheries of that team, but he really is the last one, isn't he?
Well, he's not. Jack Harrison is the last one.
Patrick Bamford is the last one. Right?
In fairness, if anything, I mean, Jack Harrison, if anything, has been sort of more.
I mean, who scored the goal that secured our safety? It wasn't Pat Bamford, was it? No.
No, it was whoever scored Newcastle's winner at Burnley. Because it was a win for them, so a point would have kept us up anyway.
In my head, it was Dwight Gale.
Maybe.
But yeah, like it's that sad thing. And look, I would love to have Patrick Bamford. If I knew he was going to be fit for the season, I would love to have him as the second choice striker this year.
Yeah,
because again, I think you know, the off the ball stuff he's absolutely fantastic at. I do think, and maybe it's just the championship, but I do think in the times when he has come off the bench, I do think he's gotten into games a lot more these last couple of years than he was doing before that. Because I think we even spoke about before in the Premier League, Bamford off the bench wasn't something that worked very well.
No, which is, and I still stand by that, but I think he has scored the second most goals as a sub for Leeds United in our history. And I still stand by that he's not good off the bench.
Yeah.
By the way, it was 2 for Callum Wilson.
Ah, oh, well.
He's on a 3. Let's have another injured striker.
Oh, God.
Come on, let's do it.
Like the language that, and I think this is just sort of Farker talking as he normally does anyway, the language did come across a little bit cold. I am assuming in a face-to-face meeting, he was somewhat warmer in how he told Patrick Bamford this.
Yeah, I would hope so. I just hope he gets a good move, players every week.
I did like the description that was used on Don't Go to Bed Just Yet, that his last action in Leeds United shirt was playing I Predict a Riot.
Yeah. He's got 1 year left, hasn't he?
Yes, I believe so.
I reckon loan in the championship with someone paying a decent chunk of his wages, but not probably no more. Like half will be the top level of how much a championship team can play. Have him on loan for the season and then he'll go at the end of that. And I can't help but think it has Wrexham written all over it. I would have said Birmingham because they've got loads of money, but they did spend like 15 million in League One on J.S. Dansfield. So I'm assuming they're still going to play him up front. But yeah, it's a shame for Bamford to go. But I do wonder if there's a little voice in the back of Farker's head going, maybe we need him now that Matteo Joseph has decided he's going to fuck off.
Right. I don't want to make this sound like I'm saying this just because he's now said he wants to leave. I actually don't care that much. I thought I would, but he made 30-odd appearances last season.
Yeah.
And I get that some of those were probably coming on with 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I think it was about 9 or 10 starts-ish.
But aside from that run at the start where he wasn't scoring, but he had a decent number of sort of assists or key passes,
yeah,
he wasn't really that effective throughout the season, which considering where we were, how we felt about him by the end of pre-season last year.
You mean when he was favourite for top goal scorer in the championship with every bookmaker?
Yeah. You know, when we both agreed that it was either going to be he needs to go out on loan or he needs to leave. I think it's just, again, the disappointment of going, nah, I'm not travelling with you guys. I want to leave.
I actually, he didn't play enough at the second half of last season, which is, I don't think is anyone's fault but his own. I still think Matteo Joseph is going to be a good striker. I've said it the whole time. I stand by it. But he wasn't playing as well as Peru. He got dropped. And to be honest, when he was coming on in those games at the end of the season, he had a great trampoline touch on him some of them games. And just really wasn't at his best at all, which is why Bamford started coming on before him in a lot of those games. He only ended up at that point in the pecking order because of his performances. Farker clearly wanted, the plan was for him to be our number 9. Although I think he'll be good, that's the case. Now, the problem is, he's then gone from that. I know Bamford's gone, but he's been behind Peru. Nemecha's come in, who will be ahead of him. And by all accounts, we still want a first-choice number 9. I do not think it's even slightly unreasonable that he wants to go.
Yeah.
It's completely unreasonable the way he has decided to go. If he'd have said to Farker, go to Germany, I'm in pre-season, I want to be in this team, but if I'm not going to play, I either want to leave or I want to get loaned out so I can play football. And just say it to Farker behind closed doors, absolutely fine. But not coming, it's not like he's, and I hate it when a fucking huge name does it, but this isn't Alexander Isak not going on Newcastle's tour because his next thing is going to be 300 grand a week and he wants to move to one of the, like, oh, this might be my make every single person in my family for the next 200 years contract.
Hmm.
Mateo Joseph is a guy who has had a championship season where he did okay and has done well for the under-21s in Spain. He is, I am amazed that, well, not amazed because we've seen players do it, but I was genuinely a bit pissed off because you're not the level to be able to pull this shit.
Yeah, I really hope Patrick Bamford refuses to train alongside him at Thorpe Arch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Farker did say he'll be with the 21s.
Hmm.
Like, when we go back. Like, he's definitely going. The only thing that Leeds need to decide is what they actually want, because it sounds like we already turned down about 10. And I don't think you're going to get much more than that.
No, I think if you told me now that you could get 10 million and a 20% sell-on clause...
That's the exact thing I was going to say. If you're going to have wiggle room, I think it's get extra in the sell-on clause.
Yeah.
Because, again, because I do think he's going to come good. There is a world where Leeds just loan him out. Straight up loan, no options, no nothing. And if he goes to Betis, which is... I think it will be Betis. It's consistently they've been the one team sniffing about. Even if he got, seven goals in La Liga next season, seven goals in a top level league, and you'd be 22.
Hmm.
You'd be worth more than 10 million then.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
So I think that might be what Leeds do.
Yeah.
It's
a shame because there's kind of games that you associate with a lot of players. Like, I just always think we'll always have Chelsea with him.
Yeah. It's weird because we lost, but it's also weird that he scored twice and wasn't the best player because Archie Gray was absolutely unreal.
Yeah.
DJ Bezos in the comments just saying, bring us the Brazilian trio. And yeah, I will use that before we talk about the last friendly. Because we talked about Pai Chau earlier. We mentioned Muniz was still the nine that Leeds apparently want. But
Roque Jr.
But the third one, yes, Roque Jr. Now, how does Portuguese work? Is it Luca? It's still Lucas, isn't it? They do pronounce the S. It's not Luca Perry.
Yes.
Yes, I think it's Lucas Perry. But yeah, Leon's goalkeeper. He's only been there a year, and he had a pretty good year by all accounts. Like, his XG prevented numbers were about 3.5 better, but the year before when he was at Botafogo, it was somewhat daft, like 17, which is the year that he became the one of the go-to goalkeeper signings on Football Manager because he was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But basically earlier today, one person whose name I forget, I apologise, said exclusive, they've done a deal, and then 20 minutes later everyone else said, oh no, it's right, yeah, we have. So the third of the trio, Lucas Perry, looks like being our new goalkeeper.
By the way, just looking at his Wikipedia, what I will say is, when you're 6'5", and I'm saying this as a tall man, you do not need to put 6'5.5". I would say that the half-inch measurements are reserved for anyone 5'9" or under.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Otherwise, you are a tall man.
You don't need it, do you?
No.
Don't donate that to someone else who requires it. But yeah, another one for Big Bastards FC. Although with goalkeepers, it's slightly less impressive. I mean, I think Melier is about 6'4", isn't he? Tall does not equal command of area. Hopefully, Luca Ferri will have some.
Yeah, I'd go straight to Costel Pantelimon for tall goalkeepers who I just think you're not great at getting down to shots.
Yeah,
you're too tall for this.
Yeah, another one who was like that, except for the like twice a season where he'd have a game that he looked like the best goalkeeper in the world, Aurelio Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd have two unbelievable games with the rest of them there. But yeah, it's been everywhere that he's going. And now I do not have Instagram, so I don't know if this screenshot is real, but it's a weird thing to fake. And I did check, Leo Carnesini is Lucas Perry's agent. And he has took a picture for in Lyon boarding a private jet with the hashtag LS11. So I think that's probably happening.
Yeah, I'd find it quite depressing, to be honest, if I touched down in a private jet in Church Fenton or wherever. And then go, where to, driver? Beeston.
Beeston.
We're going to Beeston.
Yeah, so it'll be nice to have a new goalkeeper. Leeds seemed fairly non-panicked about goalkeepers. Like the new way of it always being phrased of sources speaking anonymously to protect relationships, which you keep reading all the time at the minute. It's always been a thing, but they used to keep it for like political reporting.
Yeah.
And now it's football transfers. That Leeds weren't panicking about a goalkeeper because you can sign a goalkeeper later and it doesn't matter as much because you don't really need to work on tactics. Basically, of all the goalkeepers we've been linked with, them, there's been a load. Perry was like the one I was second most excited about, I think, behind Vanya Milinkovic-Savic. And that's because, and I think part of that, one, that was just pure numbers because last season he was insane. But two, 6'8", bald-headed, hard case.
Who fancies himself at a free kick?
Who loves taking a free kick. That just seemed like fun. But I'm looking forward to having him. And hopefully that means we can find a buyer for Melier because I believe he's in last year of his contract. And the weird thing is that he still has enough value that you don't want to lose him for free. So, like, if we can't sell him, we sort of have to give him a new deal. And we don't want to have to do that, so just find a buyer. Apparently Leicester might be getting him because Mads Hermansson's going.
Well, I think both of their goalkeepers' contracts expired. I think it was him and...
No, Hermansson's still got plenty of time in his contract where he's wanted by... I think he's got a year left now. But all the Premier League teams wanted him. But I think the second choice, I think his contract did expire.
Yeah. Might have been that and Danny Ward as well.
I was going to say, and the Welsh guy who I've forgotten the name of. But yeah, Danny Ward.
That guy who was apparently a Premier League goalkeeper.
Didn't they pay about 15 million quid for him or something like that? Oh, from being Liverpool's like third choice. But yeah, that would be a move I wouldn't have expected, but if they need a goalkeeper, it sort of makes sense.
Yeah. Because we went up, I bear no ill will to Elan Melier.
Yeah. I like Elan Melier. I just don't want him to be our goalkeeper.
Yeah.
The last thing to touch on before we go, because we've covered everything else, how much of the two friendlies, how do we look at it, against SC Vale did you get to see?
I've basically seen the goals from the Vale game.
Right.
There was some nice play in there.
Yeah, there was. I have watched all of it. Because it was on LUTV. However, I will be honest, I watched it when I got back from a night out. So I watched it after a few beers. So it wasn't the most... But two 60-minute halves. So it's sort of like two games. Vale played some nice stuff, to be fair to them. They played the ball around at the back well. A few times got out, created some chances. Dallow made some pretty good saves. Cairns didn't really have to make the same level of saves. Melier made one. But the goals were decent. The first goal, ball into Harry Gray, who dropped off the front. Good turn, through ball for Peru, who finished really well, which isn't really surprising. But there was some very nice stuff there. The penalty was just weird. I mean, the ball just didn't go out of play. The keeper rolls it to a defender who thinks it has gone out of play and picks it up. Well, I think he actually just put his hand on the ball to stop it, but... It was even weirder than the Tyrone Mings one for Villa in the Champions League last year, because that at least did go out for a goal kick and then the goalkeeper passed it to him.
Hmm.
This didn't even go out. It was really weird. But yeah, Peru took the penalty well. There wasn't as many standouts in this, I don't think. Like, Peru looked really tidy and was one of the better ones. When Bogle came on for the second half, he was good again. Mecha got a goal in the second half. He got the fourth. But I don't think he looked as good as he did in the Man United game. Probably the standout in the second half was Ramazani. He set up the third and the fourth goal. The pass through for Nonto for the third goal, which was taken really well, was a really good ball. And the one for Nemecha was pretty good as well. He was probably the standout in the second period.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was anyone else that really did much. I'll tell you what I didn't like. In the first half, we had a midfield of Longstaff and Gruev. And Gruev was on the right and Longstaff was on the left, and both of them suffered passing-wise because of that. Even after a few beers, you could tell that didn't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd want... I mean, that wouldn't be... I don't expect that to be the midfield we pick. Although, to be fair to Gruev, he has played more minutes than anyone else.
I mean, did he play the full... I think he played all but, like, the last 5 minutes in the Man United game, didn't
he? Yeah, he went off. It was, like, 2 minutes plus stoppage time that he didn't play.
And Joe Peru couldn't play a full half.
Yeah. I'll tell you, because I hadn't really seen him before, Reece Chadwick looked quite good when he came on. Nothing ridiculous, but it was nice to see, because I haven't really seen as much of him. But yeah, it was a solid win against a team that they should beat. We'll see what... The second game will probably be more interesting because we'll have Stack, and in theory we'll have Luca Perry as well.
Hmm.
So that'll start to look a little bit more like it's going to look. So we'll see where we are then.
It's just going to be goalkeepers everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, four senior keepers. Yeah, but yeah, I would assume Melier is even more on the blower with his agent than Matteo Joseph is. He's just not being a prick about it.
Can you move me, please? This new guy's going to be even bigger than I am. He's got longer arms too.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where we go. But yeah, the friendly was an all right performance. I'd quite like to see if when Stack comes in, if it becomes a 4-3-3 where it's like an actual sitting deep midfielder and two. Rather than the more 2-1 that we've been seeing. Because he looks like he'd be really good for that role.
Yeah.
Have we got all else that we need to add, KC?
I think we've covered it all, haven't we?
Yeah, I will very quickly, just as has become habit in this, I will just right quickly refresh Twitter and see if there's anything important right at the top of it, because it has happened a few times. No, it's just a million people posting that same guy who the police thought was dressed as Hulk Hogan that I posted on our Twitter as well. Because everyone came out with the same joke immediately, and rightly so. Yeah, that will do us for episode 322 of the Mighty Whites podcast. As we already know what the probable transfer is, it'll probably be early next week after the next friendly. But if something unbelievable happens, we might jump on a bit earlier. So I've been Jax here.
I've been KC. Have a good one.
In a bit.